Happy Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I am David Harrison, your host tonight. Going solo as my partner James Yarko takes the night off. Get some much-deserved rest and relaxation, James. I hope you're taking advantage of it, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. But in the meantime, for those of you who are joining us again and continue to join us, we appreciate you coming in and listening to what we have to talk about. Keep sending in those comments, those questions. We love them. We'll answer as many as we can and get to as many topics as we can. So appreciate that. If this is your first time, welcome to the show. As we said, this is the Locked On Bucks podcast. You already know that because you already found us. So that's the first step towards greatness, and you're already halfway there. The next step, if you want to go ahead and you want to read some Buccaneers content, myself and my partner James, we write for a website, thepewterplank.com, part of the FanSided network over there. And we've got a great staff of writers over there producing content all week, all season long, all off season long. So if you love Bucks stuff, if you want to read and hear some more Bucks information, you've come to the right place, and you can head on over there as well. If you're on Twitter and you like the social media thing, you can follow me at DH82_Bucks. And my partner James, who's pretty great at this. If this is your first episode, I recommend you go back into the archives and listen to some of the previous ones. I think you'll appreciate what he has to say as well. You can find him on Twitter at JYarcho. That's YARCHO_Bucks. Getting right into it, guys, we've got some good stuff. First segment, we're going to talk about some news today. A few important things that are going to be coming up for the last part of the season, especially against Detroit. And then I've got a special guest coming up after that. And then finally, I'll give you some of my own final thoughts and a preview of what's to come here on the Locked On Bucks podcast. So moving right into segment one. Great news coming out today out of One Buck Place. Doug Martin and defensive end Robert Ayers, both back to practice, both coming off of concussions. Both guys seem well on their way to coming out of concussion protocol. According to Coach Dirk Cutter, they're gonna have to see independent neurologists this week, and that'll be the last step to getting fully cleared. So hopefully that can happen. He says as soon as Thursday. So perhaps while you're listening to this, you might get a breaking news alert telling you that both those guys are back. You know, the running game got going a little bit last week against Green Bay with Peyton Barber. So how that dynamic will work when Doug comes back, going to be interesting to see. You know, I think Peyton, the young running back, has definitely earned some playing time. So I definitely think that we're not going to see him fade into the background, so to speak. But, you know, Doug is the guy. Doug's the starter. He's been the all-pro. He's kind of earned that role, I think. And so I think we'll definitely see him take back that starter role. But, like I said, I don't think Peyton is necessarily going to go away. Not very good insight if you're looking for your fantasy team. But hey, good news for the Bucks, right? More starters that can come back healthy, the better. Robert Ayers, again, part of that defensive pass rush that has been a little underwhelming. We're going to get into that a little bit with our special guest tonight. But still, good to see starters coming back because they can only make the team better, right? That's really all it is for the news today. That's really all we have to talk about leading into segment two, because this is a good one, and I want to definitely save as much time as we possibly can for that part right here on the Locked On Bucks podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're here with David Harrison, your host, and a great treat for you guys. Great treat for me, too. We are joined now by Scott Smith, the senior writer and editor of Buccaneers.com. Scott, I've told you 100 times probably already in our talk, is I can't tell you how much I appreciate you joining us tonight. And how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And please, it's my pleasure. I'm happy to do this anytime you want to do it. This was great.
I can't thank you enough, and love all the stuff that you guys are doing over the site, you and Casey. You know, your podcast, your pregame videos. I definitely catch as much of it as I can, and always I have all kinds of alerts on my phones and my watches and everything else. So love all the stuff you guys are doing.
That's great.
Yeah. So thanks. Let's just jump right into it. You know, we're at the 75% way of the season. You know, we've got three quarters of the games down and four more to go. Where are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the season as a whole so far?
Well, it's a disappointment, of course. It's disappointing, particularly in terms of the defense. I mean, when you consider the midway adjustment last year and how things went so well in the second half, and then the retainment of Mike Smith, it seemed like you were perfectly set up for that side of the ball to be much better this year, and it really hasn't been. And the major problem, of course, well, actually two major problems, is third down defense and a lack of a pass rush, and probably those are both related. I think we can agree. And it I think some of it has been bad luck with injuries, and coaches will never say that, of course. Noah Spence with his shoulder problems has been a problem, and Robert Ayers' concussion lately, and Jackie Smith, you kind of hoped maybe he'd be something like he was in 2014 and 15, and he had the injury problems with his knee, and it just hasn't worked out. And it's kind of confounding in terms of the third down situation, because we were the best team in the league on third down defense last year. And now I think we might be the worst team. I didn't check the stats today. I think we might be the worst team in the league.
Yeah, I know we were going into the Green Bay game. I'm with you. I haven't checked since the Green Bay game, but at least down there, definitely.
Yeah, and so it's frustrating because it does seem like this is a talented team, and I still think this is a talented team. I would not be one to propose any sort of major blow up personally. I think there's still you should go into next season with the same sort of hope that you went into this season, but I can understand people feeling otherwise.
Yeah, and I think anytime there's frustration, especially on the point of the fans, it's always, there's always kind of I don't want to say rush, but there's that urge to kind of find who to pin the blame on because, they're
Yeah.
want we all want some sort of accountability. But you mentioned the injuries and James, who's taking tonight off, unfortunately, but we've talked about it plenty of times before where, how much does injury really play a factor? Because even with the guys who have been here lately, Quan, Lavonte, they missed time early as well. And, just getting that defensive formation to gel together throughout the year and how much does that really play a part? So talking about the injury part and expanding on that, I saw earlier something I haven't been able to research a whole lot of details on it, but something about Noah Spence's shoulder injury perhaps being a little bit more serious and long term than maybe most of us on the outside of the building really knew about. Are
Okay.
you in tap with that at all?
Well, we discussed that today. The coach discussed that today. The question is it a chronic problem?
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I've had shoulder dislocations before. And if you don't have them, if you just continue to go on with them and they put the shoulder back in and you play, it's chronic that it's loose, so it comes back out, right?
Right.
And they he's had surgery since the end of the season for the express purpose of the fact that he was having a chronic situation with it, and the idea is he's going to be fine for the beginning of next season. I mean, that's not an uncommon thing in the NFL. A guy has a shoulder subluxation, he continues to play with it because you can put it back in there and continue to play, but you have a bigger percentage chance of that happening again, but you have shoulder surgery to sort of tighten everything up. So I don't think that's something we have to worry about, Noah. I don't think it's like the kind of injury where you say it's a career-threatening thing or something that's going to dog him his whole career. They've taken care of it with the surgery, and they expect it to be fine for the beginning of next season.
That's great. And yeah, and getting him back should hopefully help some of that pass rush. And then
Yeah.
depending on what they do as far as adding personnel or maybe, just working on schemes and
Yeah.
packages and
Right.
stuff. So that'd be
It,
great.
you know, and otherwise, injury-wise, we've had a rash of injuries, or it seems to be in the last 2 years when we've had injuries. I don't think our injury problems have been any worse than any other team in terms of just the multitude of injuries. It's just they tend to be concentrated at a particular position, and that's happened with us at defensive end, a little bit at cornerback this year, and that can make things tough. And right now, you're seeing it on the offensive line. You lose two starters, and then you go and you spend the entire week preparing a five-man line that you intend to play against the Packers, and then Joe Holly gets sick, and you have to start a slightly different offensive line. So it seems like the Bucs in the last 2 years have had a little bit of a snake bit problem with the injuries being concentrated at a particular positions. There was a you know we had running back last year as well. It's just bad luck, but the injuries are part of the NFL. I don't think the Buccaneers have had any worse injury situation than most teams overall. They've just been concentrated.
Yeah, good point. Definitely a good point to bring up there about the focus on specific positions, just getting banged up all at once and just kind of taking the air out of that position group all at one time. So moving into the last four games of the season, obviously hugely important, not just because you want to finish strong and all that, but also three games within the division there at the end. And that's going to produce a lot as far as what kind of hype the fans have and what kind of confidence, you know, the media and the fans are going to have, and maybe even the team having going into 2018. So what are you expecting? What are you looking for in the last four games here?
Well, I'm going to be completely honest with you here, David. I've been on a Bucks team. I've been working for a Bucks team. I didn't mean to suggest I was playing. That has, you could tell, had given up. I mean, I think it was 2011. Mm-hmm. And every game, I think we lost like our last seven games in a row, and every game was worse than the last. And you could tell when that happens. And the Bucks that year weren't the first team that ever happened to, and there will be other teams that happens to. But I don't get that feeling with this team. And, you know, I can understand somebody out there might roll their eyes that I work for the team, and I would say that. I'm not trying to sell you something that I don't think is true. I really honestly think this team is still very invested. They're surprised that they're at 4-8 and not in the playoff hunt right now. They don't think that that's the caliber of the team that they are. And I think they really honestly would like to prove something down the stretch. I know those are empty words, essentially, and you could take my word for it or not, but I really do feel that's the way the team feels right now. And there's a lot of guys on this team that have a lot of pride and are, you know, kind of irritated, I think. And they want to prove we have four games remaining, all of them against teams that are legitimately in the playoff hunt. Detroit's on the fringe at 6-6, but they're legitimately in it. And every team we play is going to be really invested in winning. And, you know, if we can, I don't know how many of these final four games we're going to win, but if we can win some number of those games, I think it would be a pretty good sign for the strength of this team going into next year.
Yeah, definitely. At least three out of the four teams are playoff caliber. And like you said, the Lions are right there on the fringe. So getting some wins, and, you know, I know moral victories don't count. They don't go in the win column in any way, shape or form, but going into next season, like we're talking about and building on something for the future, being competitive and being into the last drive or being into the last play against playoff teams, especially with the injuries and especially with some of the inadequacies that we have experienced, you know, as a whole is a little bit of a moral victory and can kind of spark something for the future possibly. So you mentioned effort and you mentioned the word quit, and I'm glad you did, because I want to get into that here in the next segment. You're listening to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm your host today, David Harrison, and we've been joined by Scott Smith, Buccaneers.com. And Scott, just a moment ago, we were talking about the word quit. And looking on the Buccaneers website, you had an article up today about the team having a spoiler rule as a byproduct of the situation they're in. And great stuff in there. If any of our listeners haven't read it yet, definitely get in there and read that. And then you even put in a link for something Greg Allman wrote, which is another great piece. More of an entertainment piece, but still just as valuable and good stuff there. And you quoted Gerald McCoy talking about wanting to finish the season strong. And one part really stuck out, and that's where he said, you don't want to give up. Oftentimes you see on ESPN, all these analysts say, oh, the team gave up or they packed it up. That's not going to be us. We're never going to pack it up. And I love that attitude. And I know a lot of us have talked about that this year versus last year, where last year there were some games, and most notably the Arizona game, where whether it was real or not, it appeared on the outside from where we're sitting in our spot, where, you know, watching the team, that there was a little bit of give up in the team. So, and Ryan Fitzpatrick mentioned it, you know, towards the end of his stint as a starter, how this team just fights and fights and fights. No matter where the loss is, no matter how the game ends up, the team just fights. Where do you think that's coming from, and how do you see that impacting the future?
I think that's coming from the core of the team. I think you talk about who do you think is the core of this team? I would say Gerald McCoy, Lavonte David, Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, you know, Cam Brate, Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet. These are all guys that they're fighters. They're competitors, and you know, they want to be on a team that's winning. But if you're not on a team that's winning, you make the most of what your situation. And Gerald McCoy today, during that time that quote that came up that you were talking about, a reporter asked him a question. It was a perfectly fine question about, I'm trying to think of the topic. It was something about finishing games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a valid question. The Buccaneers have had at least maybe two or three games this year where they had a lead late but weren't able to hold on to it, like just last week in Green Bay, right?
Right.
And so asked him about finishing games. And Gerald felt the question had a negative tint to it. But he said to the guy, listen, for the rest of this interview, I'm not going to answer questions like that. And he's like, I respect you. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that question. I respect the job you guys are doing. But I want to bring a positive energy to this team. So I'm only going to talk about positive things. And to me, that was him trying to be a leader and telling, and he talked later after his interview broke up. He was like, guys, let's be positive. And when they ask you questions, let's be positive. He was trying to be a leader and tell the rest of the team, the situation we're in is terrible, but we are a good team and we can make the most of the rest of the season. And, you know, honestly, it was, maybe it didn't mean anything. I don't know what it meant, but I've seen seasons where nobody would have cared, where you're in season 14, I mean, week 14 of a 17-week season. You're not going to make the playoffs. I know we're mathematically alive, but we're not going to make the playoffs. And people are going through the motions. I don't think this team is going through the motions. I think they really care. And I think it was evident in the locker room today, and it's been evident in the locker room throughout the season. And I understand you can make as much of that or as little of that as you want to. When it comes down to it, you still have to perform on the field and you have to win games, and the Bucs haven't won enough games this year. So it's perfectly fine for a fan to say it doesn't matter what they say in the locker room. But if you're asking me where I think this team is, I think they still, you know, I just think they still believe they're a good team. And I don't, how much does that matter? I don't know. But that's where they are.
Yeah, it's valid. And I mean, I don't speak for every fan, obviously, but I think it definitely matters what their attitude inside the locker room is and what they're saying. And I don't know, Gerald doesn't come across as he doesn't come across as a disingenuous guy. You know, you and I have had conversations about Jameis in the same vein, and I think Gerald's the same way. He seems who he is who he is.
They wear their hearts on their sleeves, man. Those two guys both do. And say what you want about them, but they really want to win. I feel for Gerald a little bit because he's been around for a long time and he's been playing at a high level and he deserves to be on a winning team.
Yeah, definitely. And it's sad to say, and I'm in no way calling the Buccaneers the Browns of the NFC, but you know, his situation kind of reminds me a little bit of Joe Thomas over there. And you know, he's not, Gerald's not quite in the twilight of his career like Joe is, but at a certain point, you know, I know I've looked at Joe Thomas and almost kind of wished that maybe the Browns would do him a solid and send him to New England or something so he can get a taste of that stuff. And you just hope that Gerald can get his taste in Tampa, you know, and help build that.
Yeah, in Tampa, right.
Yeah, so. Right.
I think the Bucs are a lot closer to being good than the Browns.
So, oh, yeah, definitely.
I think there's a lot more. I think there's a lot of hope for Gerald McCoy.
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll get there. And attitudes like that of, you know, just keeping that positivity, there's a lot to hone in on negativity if you really want to, but taking the time to really, you know, rally around the positive and build on that is going to be huge, I think, for the future. And I know you guys, you know, most of the people who get in close with the team, and I know, you know, you guys are inside the franchise there and, you know, some of the other outlets that have access to the team stuff speak really highly about Gerald McCoy. And this is kind of an enigma that, you know, I've racked my brain about and I can't, you know, put a finger on the pulse of it. But what do you think it is within some factions of the fan base that just don't understand and appreciate just how much Gerald means to the team and the defense, even on the field and off the field specifically?
Well, it's a little bit confounding. And from a straight point of view of play, just his play, you couldn't possibly be anti-Gerald McCoy. You couldn't. I mean, he's the leading sack guy amongst defensive tackles since 2013. I mean, what more do you want? This year, I know he only has 5 sacks, but he's right amongst the league in quarterback pressures. He continues to get his get off the line is ridiculous, and he's creating situations for the rest of the defensive line that should result in more sacks and game-changing plays, but they're not because our other guys have not done a good enough job of taking care of those or taking advantage of those one-on-one situations. I think if there's anything about Gerald, it's just I think we're just saying that he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and it is so important to him to be a leader for this team that he puts himself out there. And that's what happens. When you put yourself out there, aren't you more likely to be subject to criticism? He could be quiet. He could be Levante David, who is a phenomenal player and a great leader, doesn't do nearly as many interviews as Gerald McCoy. I mean, he does them. He doesn't turn them down. If you go up to him in the locker room, he'll talk to you. But Gerald McCoy is a more outgoing guy, and so he ends up talking more often. And as you're a leader and you're trying to lead, you're going to say things, and who knows how people are going to take them.
Right.
And he's so earnest. He cares. I think he thinks about it in the off season. I think every off season he thinks, how can I be a better leader?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so listen, if he said the things he said, if he said in a certain way, I want to be a better leader in this way or that way, and then the Buccaneers went 12-4, everybody would love the guy, right?
Right.
Right. But if you try to be a leader for your team and then the team has struggles, then you're subject to criticism because he's putting himself out there. But Gerald McCoy is a fantastic player, has been since he arrived. He cares about this team. And, you know, if a fan chooses to think, I don't know, do you think maybe they think he's being disingenuous, David? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I've actually gone on record in my opinion, thinking it's like a post Warren Sapp hangover where, you know, Bucks fans just want this Warren Sapp style of defensive tackle. And Gerald McCoy is just not that type of person when it comes to personality. But I think he's that type of player when it comes to dominating his opponent, you know?
Yeah. I saw a screen grab somebody took from this Green Bay game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw it. I think it was the Scott's. I know my name's Scott Smith, but there's a Scott Smith who is on Fox here in Tampa.
Yeah. I did see about his
he
get
took
off.
A
right?
Screen grab of. Yeah, did you see that screen grab?
Oh yeah, I did. I love.
Gerald is across the line and in contact with the offensive lineman, and three of the offensive linemen and the rest of the Bucks defensive linemen haven't even moved yet. Haven't even moved.
Yep.
I mean,
that's not
it's insane how quick his get off is.
Right.
I know.
Yeah,
and
I do.
Remember
I do.
That specific play.
I remember that exact same tweet. And I do a film study, you know, for the Peter Plank website every weekend. And I don't know how many times I've taken a screen grab and sent it to one of our other writers because it's something that we've all noticed over time. But it's still just amazing how consistently and same thing. Like, you know, just send that picture and, man, look at these offensive linemen. Look at, like, you know, sometimes like the center doesn't even look like he's moved and he's the guy snapping the ball. So, you know, it's just amazing. And man, I hope someday I get to be, you know, in the stadium when he gets put in the Ring of Honor, because, you know, he's going there. And I just wish that more fans would appreciate it. And I think maybe lot of them do. They're just the quiet, you know, the quiet ones. The angry ones are always the ones that are a little bit louder. Right. So.
Well, yeah, and I think these things work themselves out. I mean, a player plays well for a decade or whatever, he'll get his recognition. It'll work itself out. And you say these angry fans, and I don't want to dismiss that because I understand why fans are angry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just wish they wouldn't focus it on Gerald, because I think he's both his play and his commitment to the team are about as good as you could get.
Yeah, very, very fair in that assessment. Last question I had for you tonight, Scott. We've done some conversations over at the Pewter Plank, our written side of our content, and we focus a little bit on next season, as a lot of us tend to do when we're having, you know, when the team we're talking about is having years like the one that they're in 2017. And Cameron Brate and Adam Humphries have definitely been a focus of the future conversation, because both of them entering 2018 as restricted free agents. Where do you see the team going with both of these guys as far as tenders and contracts and all that? And how do you see if either or both of these guys get into open waters, do you feel like this is a situation where the price tag is going to stay in a range where the Buccaneers can bring them both back, even with open negotiations?
Oh, well, if they're restricted free agents, then there's not much of a conversation. They'll get the tender offer, and that's they'll play on that 1 year contract. That happens every single time. It's almost without fail. It's very rare for the team to do anything or any team to do it any other way.
Yeah, looking at the tag structure or the tender structure. So both these guys are undrafted free agents, right? So you're looking at either first or second round tenders to both of these guys. You think they're both going to get both of them?
What sort of tenders in order to make sure nobody signs them away? Oh, right. That's okay. That's a more nuanced question. Yeah, I get you now. I would think, gosh, boy, I got to admit you caught me off guard there. I wasn't expecting that. No, that's a very good. It's actually a more nuanced question than I thought, because I'm thinking they're both restricted free agents. So all you do is give them the 1 year tender offer. They sign it. Here's what I would suspect. Here's what I would guess, and I don't know. First of all, the Bucs will definitely do what they need to do to get those guys back. I have no doubt whatsoever they will want to get both those guys back. I don't necessarily think you have to bump up the tender offers, because you have the option to match, right?
Right.
Any restricted free agent. So I think they can play it that way. I gotta admit, I'm not an expert on that, how you deal with restricted free agents and their specific tender offers. But if I were a betting man, I would suspect they don't really need to bump up the offers to. So we're saying a restricted free agent and a guy was an undrafted free agent, so you can tender him at that level, undrafted free agent, or you can tender him at a higher level? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, exactly. So you got your first round tender, your second round tender, and then you have your same round tender, which since they're undrafted, I don't know really how that applies to them, but then you have your right to first refusal where they can just match the contract offer that they received.
I would be surprised if they needed to bump it up, to be honest with you. I think they can probably just go the normal route, and if there's any kind of competition for those guys, they have the option to match.
Okay, fantastic. But either way, you feel like 2018, we've got Cameron Brate and Adam Humphries
they'll be back.
Buccaneers, yeah, outstanding. Absolutely. Yeah, that'd be great.
The great thing about the way this offense is constructed is you have such a wide variety of weapons, and you know, with Deshaun and Mike Evans and O.J. Howard and Cam Brayton and Adam Humphries, and I wouldn't think they'd want to mess with that.
Yeah, I hope not. I really hope this offense can come back. We really just need to see the team get into a groove and kind of get things working with what they've already got, versus adding more maybe to it next year as far as position players are concerned. I'm sure I hope both those guys are back.
I think that you'd want to focus on defensive line, you know, focus on the trenches, trying to get a little bit better in that area, right?
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that mantra going into the offseason. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Locked On Bucs podcast. We appreciate it as always. And tonight we've had the great honor of having Scott Smith, again, the senior writer and editor of Buccaneers.com. Scott, again, one last time, thank you for coming on. It's been great talking to you. Good luck the rest of the season and onwards, of course. And I look forward to having you on again at some point.
Yeah, thank you, David. I'd be happy to talk to you guys anytime you want to. Thank you.
Awesome. Fantastic. Man, what a great conversation to have there with Scott again for the 1,000th time. Appreciate him coming onto the show. Anytime we can get some insight from a guy who is working in and around those players, that franchise, and that coaching staff, you know, just gives you guys more to listen to, better content for us, better content for you. So couldn't ask for anything better. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us tonight here on this episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast. Come back tomorrow. James will be back. We'll both be back together, and we're going to be previewing the Detroit Lions game. We're entering the last quarter of the season. You know, the team's not mathematically out of it. We talked about the Greg Allman article. Please go check that out. It was good stuff. But, you know, be realistic. They're out of it. We're talking about next season. We're talking about finishing this season strong, just like Gerald McCoy did. And James and I are going to give all of our thoughts on that. Again, one last time, keep shooting in those comments. Keep shooting in those questions. We love hearing from you guys. That's why we do this. We want to interact with you as much as possible. Go find us on thepeterplank.com. Great staff, great content over there. And Twitter, you can find me at DH82_Bucks. My partner, James Yarko, is JYarko_Bucks. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Bucks podcast.